Blog Talk Radio.
Cue the Luther. Oh yeah, I feel good about that. Oh yeah. This empowerment Saturday, y'all. Come on in, but make yourself comfortable. Take a seat. Take your shoes off. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. I'm Amen Marvin Rome. Coming at you. Right now. Ow. Y'all know what I'm going to say next. There is no better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. Welcome again to Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for us, for our community, and for our people. There is no other way to do it. It's about you. And it's about the NAAEA, so let's talk about that first. It's the National African American Empowerment Association. And what we do is we emphasize the importance of having programs that develop, motivate, inspire, and empower our community to be at its best. We're talking about excellence, people. It's challenging you, along with your mate, your spouse, your partner, your friend, your children, and your family, to become the best that you can be if you're African American. We're not talking about everybody else. Sorry. This show ain't for everybody else. It's for you. It's for our people. It's for our people who have been marginalized. It's our people who have been enslaved and disrespected and Jim Crow and black codes and slavery and you name it. We've done the mass incarceration. So now we've decided, hey, things have to change now. It's a new day. It's a new era. It's a new time. And it's now for us to transcend back into a rightful state of our heirship on this planet that our ancestors provided the blueprint for civilization. And we will follow in their steps. All right, we got a hot, hot one today. Let me bring my brother in. Brother Stan.
Yes, my brother.
Welcome.
We're here today and glad to be a part of Empowerment 365.
It's a beautiful thing. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Yes, I am. I'm in anticipation. It's upcoming election and everything. And we got a hot topic today, so we're ready to go.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about examining the black vote. Trump or Biden, people, you got to decide. Because guess what? They split. Half the white people this way, half the white people that way. And the blacks and Hispanics are going to decide this thing one way or the other, I think. But guess what? I want to hear what you got to say. But let's start first. Stand with Brother George. Brother George, are you there for our Willie Lynch moment?
Yes, sir, I am.
Welcome.
You got me?
I got you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
I'm going to read again from Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch by Alvin Morrow. And each time, you know, that I speak on a piece from these different sources, it's just that our people have to keep in mind that we have to struggle and wrestle with the mindset that we have been placed in for probably 300 years. And so some things that I say might not necessarily come across, but times you have to let things sink in. Just like it takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for the blood to circulate in a complete circle in your body, the same thing with a thought going into your mind. Give it a little time, and then you might have that aha moment. This is from a section called Willie's Fear, The Phenomenon of True History. Fear is defined as a psychologically emotional reaction to the threat of pain, harm, or loss of what is deemed as mentally or physically essential to a healthy life. In a more modern explanation of the definition of fear, is the undermining of common comfort by an outside power or influence. These are the thoughts harbored by those privileged whites in the higher social status and circles of social economic wealth that understand the true nature of the black man and woman. Due to generations of mistreatment of the descendants of the black once physically slaves, the new crop of Euro-ethnic leadership could for a while enjoy a measure of comfort. Only up until the day that the black man and woman began to make contact and connection with a substantial and reasonably accurate historical foundation. Today, this body of knowledge is labeled by black people living in America as resurrection material. Information of this nature is essential to giving a people sight who were once blind by the deceit of their oppressors, conditioning, school systems, and media. Now, what he's talking about there is the information that people like Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben and Dr. John G. Jackson and George G. M. James, the different, you know, books, the Golden Age of the Moors, the Introduction to African Civilization. These books are telling our story. And because we don't even know who we are in history by the different names, by Moors, by Carthaginians, by Egyptians, by African American, by Negro, by nigger, all of them is the same people. It's the same people that they're talking about. And we need to start reading, and we need to start loving our history once again. We need to start loving our accomplishments. We need to start lifting our people up and just making us the glorious people that we have been in the past and that we will be once again in the future when we pick up this mantle. Each time I read something about Willie Lynch, the brothers and sisters that are writing on this topic are trying to show you, are pointing you to the way out. So that's my segment for today, brother. I'm out.
Oh, I like that, Brother George.
All right.
I like that. Wow. It's time to wake up, people. It's our turn at bat. And are you ready to swing for the gate? At least get somebody on base in your community and in your family. Stan, are you ready for today?
Oh, yeah. I'm act up today, bro.
All right, man.
It's so close.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Right?
The truth.
Some people are afraid. Yep. We got some people saying, man, it's going to be a race war. Go ahead, brother.
It's going to be more than that, man, because, see, we got to wake up, man. The fundamental Willie Lynch has been operating ever since it was implemented. If it ain't broke, why fix it? Okay? You got to understand that. And you hear me say all the time, we got to quit trying to get in to fit in. That's over with. Stop that mess. That's not us. I'll say it again. Quit trying to get in to fit in. That's not us. Stop that mess. We are original kings and queens. We had empires, dynasties. We had a library. That people from all over the world came. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these supremacists have developed what is called the final solution. And I'll add to it what is called the white solution. This is no joke. I'm talking fact here. Just like we are literally online right now, speaking, I'm talking fact now. They came together and put together what is called the final solution. Now watch this, see how it all adds up. And you might add the word the white final solution. See, when white folks know there's a problem, the first thing they do is look for a solution to the problem. Okay? And so here's what they done. Now, imagine yourself as a fly on the wall. You in a room with a room full of
right
white
now,
supremacists.
Most of the Negro leaders sell out.
Hey. Stop that, because this is going to happen. Whoever is controlling these radio, I'm talking about beyond you, Marvin, they're going to try to cut this off because they don't want this to be heard, because this is the truth. This final solution is real. Now, imagine you as a fly on the wall in the room full of white supremacists. You're in there, okay? You're the only black thing in there, but you are a fly on the wall. Got that now? You got that? You got that? Okay. Now, here's the conversation that's going on, and this is the real conversation. Everyone knows, the America that everyone knows and loves is changing. Think about this now. The America that everyone knows and loves is changing. Remember now, you're the only black thing in the room, you'll fly on the wall. According to the latest census populations, by 2045, it's now 2020. According to the latest census populations, by 2045, the country will become mostly minority white. I didn't say majority, I said minority white. That means that at some point before 2050, will account for less than 50% of the population. You hear that? Less than half of the population. That will be up against the breakdown, such as 25% Hispanics or Latino, 15% blacks, 5% Asian, okay, and the other 7% others, which is multiracial and other, okay? If things continue, down this path, now listen to this. If things continue down this path, and if we, talking about the supremacists, if we fail to persuade our people otherwise, these numbers will favor the other party, and we're going to be voted out of office, and we will lose our grip on power completely and forever. And the question is, we have to ask ourselves, is this the kind of country you want to live in? Now, you've been a black fly on the wall. Think about this slogan, make America great again. Think about the pandemic. Who is the pandemic affecting? Say it to me, brother. Who's affecting?
People of color.
People of color, I rest my case. These people know that they are on their way to becoming a minority, not because the majority now, the minority race by 2045. They got the plan already in action, already the Willie Lynch perspectives is already operating, and I'm going to say it like this here. Your vote don't mean nothing. All it's going to do is get one clown out of the office to another person who's going to be a little more subtle. That's all it's going to do. And that's why we got to quit trying to get in to fit in. Now, am I telling you not to vote? I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm just telling you that your vote has already been discounted. Because the right supremacist knows that they got a mess up. Excuse me, choked up here. They know they got a master plan. They got a master plan, and it's already being implemented. That's the facts, man.
All right.
That's the facts.
You got it, brother. Let me go to this clip, and then we're going to get the dialogue started. Y'all ready? Stan, you laid that out pretty good.
Man, it's the truth. The fly was on the wall. There you go.
Still going on?
Yeah, brother. I don't know what happened with Brother Ron, but that was a clip there that was headed up by Ice-T talking
Ice
about.
Ice-Cube.
Yeah, Ice-Cube.
Yeah, Ice-Cube.
Yeah, the vote.
I'm back in, Stan. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Stan.
Right. And he was talking about that if you do vote, it should count for something. And that the time of your vote not count for anything is over with. What he's
saying. That's right.
Right. Now, the young people have been touting this for years. As a matter of fact, during the last midterm election, they kind of put it into practice. I don't know if you guys remember, there was supposed to be this blue wave of Democrats that were supposed to get in. The blue wave never happened. And it didn't happen because the younger black people were on point. they were asking this question, and then they were all online saying that they were not going to vote. They weren't getting anything for it. And, you know, the blue wave never came. And I think there's even a lot more of them now. And we'll see what happens in this election. But they're very vocal, and they're very out front, and they're looking to make a statement. So we'll see what happens. I will say this about, I think one, and this has nothing to do with this program or anybody on this program, but it's something that I've been noticing. I think we have to be careful with as we teach history, because what has happened is some have turned it into kind of their calling card. So what happens is our victimization, although well known and well written about and well spoken about for many, many, many years, It's thrown at us over and over and over and over again. And that has a psychological effect. It's like somebody being sexually assaulted, and every time they look up, somebody is talking about the assault.
Mm-hmm.
You tell that person over and over. You know what happened to you? This happened to you. And it has a psychological effect. And I think what ends up happening unintentionally is you're almost performing a psyop on your own without really even knowing it. So I think what some of these other people that are doing this need to understand is that when it's talked about, it has to be a solution tied to it. Or what you're doing is you're victimizing psychologically the person over and over and over and over again. Just my thought.
Okay. All right. Stan, you got anything? Thank you for sharing, brother. And
well,
I'm going to come back to you in a minute.
I'm still sticking with this final solution because, as I said, it's a known fact that this country is becoming more and more non-white. They know that. But yet this country was formed as a white society. That's America's original sin. We know the story upon a near genocide of one race of another, enslavement of another, kidnapping another. And so the demographics, the projections speak for itself. By 2045, this is going to be reality. They can't wait to know 2045. They're not going to wait. And so they're doing everything within their power. I mean, come on, be real with this thing. Where is the majority of African-American men at now? Somebody talk to me. Where they at? I told you I was going to act up today.
Don't act up
today. I'll tell you where they at.
Don't do it. They're incarcerated.
Now, that is not no fact. I mean, wait, let me back up. I'm going too fast. That is not no myth. That's fact. There's over a million of them. Okay. Now, what does that do? Okay. Michelle Alexander talks about it. It's the new Jim Crow. It's real. Number one is population control.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it is. And it also controls the vote.
That's true.
It's real. It's real. Now, this pandemic, that is real. That's not no myth. You think them 228,000 deaths are myths? No, this is real. Who is it basically that it is affecting? People of color. People, we better wake up. We're becoming a pawn on the chessboard. And if we don't, I hate to call it a game. If you don't know the game down here that is played, it's life or death down here. Now, me personally, I know my mission and my commission. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, okay? and I know my constitution, I know, and I know the laws of the land. But the thing of it is that there is an evil, sinister plan down here to eradicate as much blackness off the face of this earth that they can. Okay. I'll say it again. It's what they call the final solution. Is this the kind of America that you wanna be a part of? Is what they say. I'm talking about the white supremacists. Now, if they know that they're gonna lose their grip of their power. They know that. So they got to do what they can. And so I wouldn't be surprised come Tuesday, you look up and you see business as usual. I'll say that again. I wouldn't be surprised come Tuesday, you look up and you see business as usual. Because for the white supremacists, this thing has stakes involved. And remember what I said about the fly on the wall. That's no joke.
All right. Well, let's get.
America is changing.
Let's get back to the lines. I'm going to 4756. We're talking about the election. We're talking about what's going on in this country and how this election could teeter our communities in the balance. Well, already staying laid it out about the impact of what's going on. We have to take some measures. 4756, are you there? Empowerment Network.
Hey, it's Brother Warren. Brother Warren from New Orleans, wake up.
Hey, Brother Warren.
Hi,
what you got?
I tune in. I want to talk about, I think there's a little underhanded trick going on in the community.
Uh-oh.
And I think what the conservative right wing has done, it has tapped into some of the conversations that we have in the community. And I think the element of the community that questioned the significance of voting, I think the right wing conservative have tapped into that to sway our community, which I don't think is working, to somehow be disgusted with voting, to where you ultimately help out the right-wing conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, voting has its place.
That's
it's
right.
It's an offense and defense position you got to constantly do. Now, let's look at this. And let me tell you about young people. See, what young people got to understand is young people can't run a society just by themselves without older people who got experience and knowledge. And older people can't run a society without the energy and the idealism of the young people. No civilization has a society where just the young people run or just the old people run.
That's right.
You see,
come on, Warren.
You see, what we're up against at this point is you say, well, the Democrats have done nothing for blacks. That's not quite an honest statement to make at all. Because a relationship with a political party is not the same as a relationship with an individual.
That's right.
In relationships, you have good times and you have bad times. Now, in a Democratic Party, black people had a Democratic president sign the Civil Rights Bill, the Voting Rights Act, appoint the first black Supreme Court justice. And out of the 10,000 or so black elected officials, black people have found a way to participate in electoral politics through the Democratic Party. Now, so to make a statement that the Democratic Party has done nothing for black people, that's not an honest statement. Now, can it be said that lately, the last 20 years, the Democratic Party may have gone astray from its commitment to the working class people and to unions and stuff? Therefore, ignoring black people? Yes, we could say that, but to just make a blanket statement so one does not vote the Democratic ticket and therefore empower the Republican ticket. Because, you see, when you have a Republican in office, like the guy you got now, they appoint federal judges. They appoint Supreme Court justices.
Tell it.
And we all know the Republican presidents
The Republican agenda has been to roll back the gains that black people have made through federal initiatives like Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. In fact, we see the rollback right now. So the young people who say, what are we going to get from voting? You need to study their history. Now, the caller talked about this. The caller interpreted this reminder of our history as some sort of psych ops on black people. Well, you know, learning your history inspires people. It gives you knowledge. Jewish people do it all the
time.
There
you go. There you go.
Jewish people remind their own of the atrocities they say they've gone through, and they don't seem to complain that it's a psych ops on them. So it is important to vote because it's something. Because if it wasn't important, why are there some efforts to what? To suppress your vote, not to count your vote. If it didn't matter, if it wouldn't work anything, why go through all that effort?
Mm-hmm.
Why are there efforts to go to court so states could stop the count at a certain time or throw out certain ballots? The actual process of voting is real because in the tally of votes, it may not work in somebody's favor. You see? And so we kind of have to be careful with a lot of the, what I call manipulation of angry black people, because that's kind of what's going on. The right wings have tapped into that. And so they have a lot of this, what you call veneer, of consciousness on the front, but it's a right-wing conservative operation underneath trying to sway black people's votes to the right-wing direction. And the last I heard was what's significant about the early voting was a whole lot of young people not only registered but cast their vote, which they find very, very interesting and exciting at this time. So the information I got is a lot of the young people who are civic-minded. Now, if you're not civic-minded, if you don't know what's going on in the world, then you might be the young person that don't go vote.
Hmm.
You see? But from the last I heard, young people are fired up, and they are making a distinct difference in the tally of the votes because of their getting involved in voting. And I'll be quiet.
All right. Thank you, Warren. Hey, that was pretty good. Stay in what you got. Thank you, Brother Warren. I'm coming back to you in just a few minutes.
In our city, the Hispanic population is the largest ethnicity group, represents 17%, okay? And they have a fellow member on the city council, but they can literally just control and run the whole city if they all just come out and vote and just exercise their what you call. Okay, so the statistics are there. It's a fact. I mean, it's there. They have surpassed us as the largest ethnic racial group in this country, Hispanic.
I would say maybe.
That's fact.
I would say maybe on that.
No,
I think it's more of us here than they're letting us know.
Yeah,
there's way more
black
people here than they're letting us know.
We're still, you know, and so the thing of it is that It is what it is. Now, 2045, when it rolls around here, the question is, will we be around here, you know? But the thing of it is it speaks for itself. The game, it's already been played out. Now, there's really two constitutions. We know that because the first one didn't include us at all. And they realized that, and they said, hey, we got to get these votes, get them, got to be inclusive. And so the 13th, 14th, 15th includes us. That's for us to get us in there, give us the right to vote, okay? And so that we can play the game. Come on now. I'm just telling you what it is. And as the wake-up brother said from New Orleans, right, it does make a difference. And things have happened. It has. And just to say it don't count or just like this here, don't. I'm just saying what I'm saying is we got to get past the place of just trying to get in to fit in. It's more than just that. What's our plan? What's our agenda? Where are we going with our newfound power and authority? Because it's a fact. The white race is dying out. And if you looked at all these multiracial, it's in everybody's family now. It's real. You can't go to the store without not seeing it. It's real. So times have changed, and they know this. And so this is not perchance slogan, make America great again. We know what that means. They have talked about that. They have deliberated about that. And this is their solution, that they've got to work this out. So by any means necessary, it's on. And if you
I would just want to add this, Stan. If you think about gentrification and how white people are now moving back into the inner cities where black people are, it's closer proximity to us. And so I think that's a part of the strategy. I think we have to have a good plan and a good strategy. But I want to stick with what we're doing here. We want to talk about the impact. We're going to the lines again and the importance of your vote, the black vote, why we vote, who should we vote for, and if you are voting, because some people are voting, what is your vote asking for politically and economically as it relates to you, your family, and your community? What are you asking for? I'm going to 1683. Put your seatbelt on. We're coming at you live. Marvin Roan and Stan Macklin, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Everybody's well, I hope.
Afternoon. Hey, brother, how are you?
Hey.
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, sir. Look, right quick, I want you to let you know I'm over here on Churchill Street. I'm in Churchill on 25th and 9 Mile at Mount Olive Church with a group of young black folk called the Black Coalition of Change. Got a great gathering out here, very positive, and it's some young folk that want to impact and want to make a change, not ask for change, but make a change. So if after 3 o'clock when the show is over, if you're in Richmond, come on over. It's a really nice setting. It's going to be going on to like 4 o'clock. But look, I learned years ago from a white man who used to be on the radio in Richmond named Jerry Lund. Jerry Lund was Richmond's Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I even called his show a few times and got hung up on and so forth because I was challenging Jerry Lund. But Jerry said one time, you see, I don't vote for anyone that won't do in office what I would do if I was to run for office and be elected. He said, if I don't feel that person going to do what I would do in office, I'm not going to vote for him. Okay? So over the years, I have never seen anyone that I thought would do what I would do if I was in office. Therefore, I ain't vote for nobody. Okay? We've been voting for years for the lesser of two evils. And people will admit that. We've been voting for the lesser of two evils. But when you do that, you're still getting evil. Let's be stripped. Let's be real. Voting for the lesser of two evils, you're still getting evil. All right? So now we're to the point where we've got to make sure the right white man, because God knows if we pick the wrong one, all the country's going to hell in the basket, and we're going to lose all the things we've gained over the years, and God knows, so we got to make sure we pick the right white man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to get rough for us. Truth be told, what kind of society are we living in that one day we can be given rights, but then the next day, the next year, the next 4 years, the next minute, if we don't pick the right white man again, all those rights that we've been so-called given will be taken away from us again. And things will go back to where they were because we didn't vote for the right white man. To me, the voting process is to keep us from being violent. It's a pacifier. Oh. It's a pacification. Because if you didn't think you had something that going to change your lifestyle, which is the voting process supposedly, then we would have been violent a long time ago. That's what the Civil Rights Movement was about. That was the Nation of Islam was about. That was the Black Panthers was about. This country was about ready to, say it was burn, baby, burn. Because black folks was getting ready to go off. So you had to come up with these civil rights movements, these voting rights acts, to let you say, oh, yeah, times are changing. You just got to go vote, okay? White man said the other day on MSNBC that this election we need to determine with this vote who we are as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, maybe this is who we really are.
Huh.
What we're seeing right now. White man said it. maybe this is who America really is right now. So I will say this. Don't blame me or the so-called black folks who don't vote. Because now you hear, oh, if you don't vote, you shut up.
Uh-oh.
If you don't vote, you don't have a right to challenge. If you don't vote, you can't do this, do that. Look, think about what you're saying, brothers and sisters. You're blaming me for what white folks are doing to us as a people. Blaming
mm-hmm.
me because I didn't vote. You're not blaming white folks. You say because I didn't run down and, quote, unquote, vote for the right white man, we in all this trouble. No, the process is designed to keep you from being violent by making you think you're going to change something or you have an opportunity to change something. But the system, like Stan said, the system's been set up to keep you doing what you're doing. But it's a pacification. You're never going to get anything. Remember I said a while back in 1915, a white man by the name of D.W. Griffin, after black folks thought they were going to get the vote and all that, they were talking about giving black folks the vote. He made a movie called The Birth of a Nation in 1915. In that movie, mm-hmm. he showed an election where black folks won all the state houses across the country and all that. And then when we gathered, and when the blacks gathered in the state houses, they were in there eating fried chicken feet all up on the palaces, licking their fingers and everything. Just being, as we say, typical niggerish activities. In other words, implying that
mm-hmm.
that's what's going to happen if we let black folk vote. If we get these niggas the right to vote, this is what's going to happen. You know what? When that movie was released, white folks rioted in the streets all over this country. The birth
that's
of
true.
Our nation, 1915. White folks
that's
rioted.
Yep. Yep.
In fact, if you go to any film school in America, you're going to learn of D.W. Griffin because he's called the father of film technique.
Hmm.
Praise that man for his movies. We got to understand. We're still in the system. We're trying to use a way in the system to make the system better for us. The system ain't designed to be better for us or to be good to us. You know, like I said,
right.
You gotta stop trying to get, what is that, get along to get along with, give up. No, we're not going to find justice and freedom in this system because the system was set up day one not to ever let us have that opportunity. And Stan, you know
mm-hmm.
damn well white folks ain't going to lose no power of America. No,
sure.
I don't care. You can have 3 million, you can have 400 million Mexicans and blacks in this country and 100 million white folks, and white folks still going to rule this country because it's their country. It's their system. And by the time black folks
mm-hmm.
and white folks become mayors and governors or presidents or senators, their mind is so, quote-unquote, Americanized, socialized, that they're going to do exactly what the white man would do if he was in office.
Yep.
So, you know, we got to pick the right white man. Just think about that threat. We got to make sure we pick the right white man. Please. No, we got to look to do what we need to do to distance ourselves and to get out of this thing. You know? Stop. Stan said, what you said, Stan? Stop hemming and getting along to get along with you. What's that phrase?
Quit trying to get in to fit in.
Right.
Quit it.
So
quit it.
What's the alternative to voting? If you're not going to vote, if you're not going to participate, what's the alternative before you get out of here, brother?
All those numbers of the votes, all those numbers that we vote, like I said before, just imagine what would happen if they reported on Tuesday night, man, not a Negro in this country voted. Not one Negro or person of color voted, man. Not one. That's a vote. That's the boat, because their white folk would say, oh, my God, I never thought they could come together like that to pull anything like that
off.
That's
right.
Not one.
Right.
Not one nigga voted.
Right.
That would be the boat.
Right. The brother makes a good point, because it was nothing but after the Emancipation Proclamation, they had 4 million blacks, and they you know, what were they going to do with them? They had to find a way to be able to get them involved. So they started the Freedmen's Bureau, got them involved with education, and then they started the political process to give them, you know, to give them the right to vote. Lincoln got killed because of the 13th Amendment. That's why he got shot in his head. Come on now. Abraham Lincoln. Let's get a little deeper. Do you think it's a coincidence that Abraham Lincoln is on a penny? What color is a penny?
Man.
That's
Listen,
a reminder.
I need,
Something broke is broke. The system was designed for white folk. That's America's original sin. Now,
right.
Let me
well,
go,
hold
let me
on,
quickly.
Brother. You keep
Why
going, stand on. Put this brother on hold.
Cross? Jesus paid it all. The cross is a symbol of where Jesus made the final, ultimate sacrifice. He paid it all.
Boy, I am sure y'all got some people heated over this discussion.
I told you that today.
All right.
It's
let
real,
me slide
man.
On down. I'm going to 7974. Are you there?
Listening.
Hello?
Yes, 7974. Welcome to the apartment.
Who is
Saturday?
Yeah, so I think that I want to just have a few comments today. But going back to your other caller, in terms of the eugenics piece, I do believe that what Sam was saying in terms of the population control is true. I think that it's by design and it's strategic. And I think when you look at the COVID cases, you know, in particular, along with all of the other things. So we have to look at an intersectional way, right? You got COVID, but you have all the other things that we're doing to ourselves, right, that are also leading into COVID with our underlying health
that's
conditions,
right.
right, with diabetes,
yeah,
high blood pressure,
right.
all of those types of things
that's right.
that we
Tell
do to ourselves that then impact and make it easier for eugenics to be able to play out in the way that they want it to. And so I think there's some personal responsibility that we have to feed into the fact that they're going
right.
to try to kill us. We can't make it easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why make it easy for them to go ahead and try to kill us? And that's number one. I think number two, I think if you're talking about the vote, let me say that I'm going to always say vote, because even if you don't vote, you're already giving them a vote. So if you want your voice to be
that's
heard,
true.
Regardless of, you know, I really agree with what the caller said before in terms of voting is like a relationship. It can be good times, it can be bad times. I think he eloquently and said that very eloquently in the sense that if you don't vote, you withdraw your vote. You are still giving a vote, right? It's you're still saying what you want to happen regardless. And so when you do that, we may be in a relationship where we have two old white men, but when I've seen what one of the white men has already done and continue to do and to basically say that I don't matter, my family don't matter, you're continually doing things
Help
that put me in a
matter.
Worse position, right? I may not be able to thrive. I mean, again, we're thinking about as a community. But I'm going to survive, and my survival is then going to place my bets on the fact that I think that this other white man is going to do better than what this man has shown me, right? You have shown me that when you found out that it was black and brown people that were dying from coronavirus, you stopped caring, and now you're basically saying that you're going to create a vaccine that I won't be taking.
That's right. Come on.
Teach us now. You are going to get to black people that's coming right around the corner. So, again, I think when you say, okay, I'm not going to vote, whatever the case may be, something is still going to happen, right? And if we're all blessed enough with life to keep on living, either you can get active and can take control of your story, or your story is going to be told for you anyway. And so, for me, when I think about our ancestors, and I particularly love Fannie Lou Hamer, who said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But that is the kind of motivation that drives me to say, I'm not going to not use the voice that I have, right? The voice that I have may not be, in particular, the candidates that I particularly want, but it's a work in progress. And like he said, it's like a relationship. You don't just give up on your marriage just because your partner do something you don't like. You try to continue to work on that. And so for me, do I think Joe Biden is going to be better for America than Trump and what he's already shown me? Absolutely, right? And so the last piece I would say is that when I think it was Ice Cube just saying your vote should count for something or you should get something for your vote. Absolutely, you should get something for your vote. But when you don't vote, right, you're still getting something. So what choice are you going to make? You're going to get something to try to make an active personal decision, right, an educated decision. And I think part of it is that people don't understand how the law works either, right? You can't just come in as a president and do this and some other things as executive orders can be done. But I don't think people understand the three systems of government that we do have.
Right.
But anyway, with that being said, I'm going to say vote. Please vote. Please get on the vote. Because, again, we need to send a message, and we have to have a starting point. Even if that's burning it all down, to start back again, it got to start somewhere. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Broke it down.
Man.
Broke it down.
Broke it down. We're in the pivotal time in our lives right now, right? Whether you are Democrat or Republican or independent or completely abstaining, we must examine the climate of our country. And you're going to have to decide one way to, because guess what? Whether you vote or not, you're still going to have to participate if you live here, right? So you don't have to vote.
Right.
I'm not saying vote if you don't want to, but you're going to deal with the fallout one way or the other. So and when we talk about lesser of two evils like the brother did, I think we had another black man in there before this man came in. And I don't think it was too much better for us because the politics couldn't work for him. But when we start participating, and that's why I think we have to have a political agenda to say, let's start getting some people in politics and understand how politics work. Let's have some economic asks. This is what we need for our communities. These are the protections that we need, and these are the things that we're going to ask for. These are the things that we're going to fuss for, and these are the things that we're going to fight for. And then we can move forward. But I just think standing back and complaining a whole lot won't do very much unless you take action where you live. And then that culminates in a national effort to be able to have an agenda that works for us as people of color. Stan, I'm going down to 8128. It's your turn to tell us what you think. Politics and economics, 8128, what you got?
How you doing today, Gilman? Yes, this is a very interesting conversation, and it has really kind of put the cards on the table in terms of what black people in this country need to now recognize, you know, because as we all remember, that back in the 60s, we had several organizations that kind of rose up during the 60s, the Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army, the Republic of Africa, All African People Revolutionary Party, the National Black Political Convention. All of those things need to reemerge. Every single one of those types of factions need to reemerge because right now, we are being counted on to make a stand on either side of this white agenda. Now, as Ice Cube actually pointed out, okay, like he went to both parties. Actually, he solicited both parties to talk about his agenda, and the Republican Party was the one who invited him in. Now, whether they're white supremacists or not, as a matter of fact, white supremacists will probably give you more attention than those on the other side simply because they know if you're talking about some kind of independent thought, they want to know what it is. And they want
That's a strategy.
Right, it's a strategy. Whereas the Democratic Party just take you purely for granted. They figure, you know, they have just totally looked at you or us, I should say, as just, you know, the sheep that's going to go to the slaughter or to go to the poll for them, and we're just going to do what we want to do with them like we've been doing for the last 50 years. So why should we feel threatened by them? And then this guy, we're looking at him like, yeah, you know, but what kind of support you can give, but we ain't going to just turn around and give you an audience, you know, because if we give you an audience, then we're saying that we need to listen to what you got to say, you know, because that's what that indicates, that his agenda has merit. Now, the Republicans ain't afraid to see whether or not your agenda has merit because they're going to do what they want. They're going to do what they're going to do anyway. But the Democratic Party don't even want to look at your agenda because you're going to get publicity, and that publicity is going to get you to look at that agenda for black people and say, we need to ask for something. So Because the majority of black people have never, ever asked for anything but integration based on them telling you that you need to be integrated in order to be equal. We've been, us being separate, what about us being separate and equal anyway? You know what I'm saying? What is that? Why is you got to be integrated in order to be equal? That's a message. That's a psychological programming that people have accepted for too long. Because after the 70s, the repression, fractionalization, and collapse of all movements took place. They systematically tore us apart. They systematically took all of, we're going to put you in office, but you got to serve our agenda. If you're going into somebody else's house, why do you think that you're going to operate within that house the way you want to, unless you have some power in that house? They have systematically put us as servants back in their house. Okay.
Well, let me ask this question real quick. Is this really their house? Because I believe, I'm just saying me, I believe it's our house. I believe this is our house, and we can make this system whatever we want to make it if we decide that we want to participate and do what we know what we need to do. I think this is our, we built this house, right? Your ancestors on every road in that city down in Richmond, every cobblestone, our ancestors, every building we built. You go to Washington, D.C., it's us, right? So ain't no going back. Ain't no going back. This is our house.
In terms of the ownership of the house, we may have the deed, but we are not.
We own the property. We own the land.
But look at it like this. You brothers saw Django. What was Samuel Jackson doing? He was writing the checks. Come on. He was writing the checks. Yeah. He was running the system.
Yes, he was.
So we know the situation that exists. The thing of it is, though, we have to make up our minds. See, politics is a game. Come on now. We don't want to look at it like that. And the object of the game is compromise. That's why you ain't got no second stimulus check. Because Nancy,
we don't need no stimulus.
The other dudes,
we don't
compromise.
Need no handouts from them. All we got to do is stop building ourselves.
We don't
stop begging all the time.
Of course we don't need it. But that's the name of the game is compromise.
We need to own our own businesses and then get into political.
If you're going to get involved in politics, you got to know the game. You don't play.
We
got to
run some people up there.
Playing, you look crazy trying to play baseball and you acting like you're playing football.
Well, we better learn how to be baseball players. We better learn it while we're here. If you on the field and we on this earth, you better learn how to play the game. I'm going down to 0946. Thanks for calling, brother. I'm going to come back to you in a minute.
Well, that
0946. Are you there?
I am. Good evening. You know, I think we've seen this in the playbook before, and that's when the Republican Party tapped into the disgruntled rural America white men. And what's happening with this black vote, it's kind of like, y'all, when has the black vote not been important? I believe the game is to divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
So the strategy is, if he win, we got a plan. If he lose, we got a plan.
You talking.
So coming out of this, what you're now going to have is a bunch of disgruntled black people that are going to be so divided. Everybody's going to be coming for the vote to discredit the vote altogether, and that's the strategy, and that's what I fear is not being seen. It's kind of like we've been talking about we've died for the vote. We've been talking about how important the vote. It's like we've never heard this before. This is like silly what we're talking about. It's causing us to lose focus on what the real agenda is. And I'll just throw this in here. with the decriminalization of the system and letting people out the system, white supremacy is already adapting. Now they've got us putting us on surveillance. See, there's a whole mechanism now evolving with house arrest, ankle bracelets, chips, all kind of stuff. It's evolving right in front of us because, yeah, they're going to start letting people out of prison, but you're going to still be in prison. So the system is adapting right before us, and that's the strategy that I don't think we don't understand. Is they've got, like Stan was saying, the fly on the final solution. We got to play.
Right.
If we win, plan A. If we lose, plan B. We're going to still be in control. And
that's,
I think that's what's going on.
That's right. That's right. Well, guess what? We've already been able to get through 4 years of Trump, right? So it's not like we can't coexist with him being president. But whatever, who's ever in charge, we need an agenda. I'm going over to Brother George. Brother George, what you got?
Well, brother, I didn't think I was going to get a chance to talk because, you know, it's getting time is getting short. But
man, we going into overtime today. This is hot.
Okay, well, I agree wholeheartedly with the sister just now said that, you know, we need a plan for plan A and for plan B. But basically, the things that you were talking about, you know, as a people, we got to start, we have to stop focusing on having all these debates about, let's say, something like voting. But we don't have this stronger debate when it's talk about creating an economic, you know, solution for our people in this country. We don't have these kind of debates. We sit around and we debate the white man this, the white man that. Personally, man, like, I don't have time to be talking about white people. I really want to talk about developing a crop of our young people to move into another phase of how we're going to deal with this American experience and understand the fact that this country doesn't belong to anyone except for us. We were the first people on this planet. This planet belongs to us. And so we have the perfect right. And I'm not discounting that other human beings don't have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we got to understand that we're entitled to that same thing, and we don't act like it. We keep on acting like we got to solve this problem with white people. And no, when you solve the problem with yourself, you solve the problem with white people. When we start talking about working together, getting the black male and the black female back together, you know, taking our rightful places, you know, as a couple again in the world and start creating a better environment for human beings to exist in, that's the plan. That's the plan. That's what we need to be planning. Well, how to treat each other better, how to treat our book on the circle concept with helping a lot of, you know, different minorities. I hate those kind of terms, you know, because all of us are individual groups of people, and we shouldn't be all bunched up into the same category, you know, like, it doesn't matter what you are. This is where you're at. You're a minority. You are people of color and all this kind of stuff. You know, I just think that that's really a disservice to the different groups of people, that we have independent issues and things that we need to be addressing. But as black folk, we got to solve our own problems, you know, first. And we can't solve nobody else's problems, you know. And we are very capable. We are a very intelligent, well-developed people. And we have finally stood up eye to eye in the face of white America and said, we done. You know, you're not daddy no more. You know, we ain't kids no more. You see, we're an adult people now. And then turn our back and walk away and start doing some things to build for ourselves in this country and in this world, period. That's what my thoughts are, brother.
I like that, brother.
Oh,
I like that.
Let me say one more thing.
You got it.
I think that there is things at stake with the idea of voting. And I'm not trying to get into a debate with different brothers who have a perspective.
Come on,
that they don't
Come
want
on,
to vote.
Put it out there,
that's,
brother.
That's fine. You know, that's fine.
Preface,
if the person feels like they don't want to vote. When I look at what's at stake and what our people are actually prepared for, you know, as far as like a physical confrontation, if this guy stays in office for another 4 years, because these people are getting more and more, you know, happy with being able to kill us, you know, just
got
pull out shotguns, walk down the street. Well, he was looking in that house, so I thought I had to kill him because he did that. You know, come on, man. You know, our people are not prepared right now for that kind of battle. But we really need to be thinking about getting prepared for that kind of battle. So that's why I say I think that right now their voting is very crucial at this particular time. We are in great danger. And I don't mean to be scaremongering or anything like that.
Don't be scared.
I think that if they don't pull the lever for Joe Biden and Trump gets back in there, you better get a gun. You better get a gun. So I'm
That's Brother George, y'all. That's Brother George. Y'all heard that. Guess what? Don't be afraid, but you need to be wise as a serpent. Okay. All right. I'm going Brother Warren. I'm going to go back to Brother Warren, Stan.
Yes, let's go.
Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, you heard it all. What you got?
Yeah, I want to go back to my focus. The ultra-right conservative Republicans have been very successful in encroaching in the black. See, in the old days, they would just put a black person with a bow tie and all that kind of stuff, talking about being American. But see, what they've gotten more sophisticated, they've tapped into what we call the conscious community. And they got a lot of these young blacks who are out here saying they're going to Africa, that they're conscious, but they're promoting Trump. And so this fake disgust that some people got all of a sudden with the Democratic Party is being manipulated as a way to push Trump. You know, Malcolm X, when Martin Luther King went to jail in Selma, you know, Malcolm X went to Selma to encourage the black people to go and register to vote. And so, see, we let people just distort our history and get little bits and pieces, this whole kind of thing. And so what you have here is you have a sophisticated operation in the black community of manipulating discontent to encourage black people not to vote, and Trump gets in. But from what I understand, it's not working. Black people are fired up. They have registered. They voted early. They're going to the polls. And let me say this about these black people pushing Trump, or these black people who, I don't know. You know, you got black people in the U.S. disproportionately dying because of COVID under the leadership of this particular person. If that don't piss you off to motivate you to say at least he got to go, then I'm suspect, okay? And there's this thing now, these young blacks got called being on code. So when you bring up the black deaths under COVID, they got nothing to say, you see. Trump was in power for 4 years, not the Democrats. So really there's no justification at this phase to say you're pissed off with Democrats. Really no justification for that, because the person that's been screwing up has been a Republican. And so once again, you have a right-wing operation that has infiltrated the black masses at the levels of the hip-hop culture, of the consciousness, and all that. This is about Ice Cube. Ice Cube is stupid, because you know that whoever calls you for a meeting, they're going to use you for their photo ops and to promote them. Okay, so it's not wise on you. You should have waited to whoever wins to justify going meeting them, you see. And so we have to be very careful about how people come at us in a very shrewd ways. What they say, a sheep in wolf's clothing, or what is that, a wolf in sheep's clothing or something, like, how do they say that? And so you have the right wingers, and I'm going to be doing a show called Trump's Whores.
Uh-oh.
These black people out here pushing Trump, prostituting themselves. And those out here who pretended like they so mad with the Democrats, it don't matter who get in. Federal judges, Supreme Court justices, is the chess game you play when you vote with you. Your interests are federal judges, with federal judges and what Supreme Court justices get in, because what you fought for to advance could be rolled back just on that alone. Okay, so that's the chess game that we seem not to understand because we're so mad with the Democrat Party. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Warren. Think about this. Wherever you are, right? We are in a critical time, whether you like it or not. And it is up to us to make some decisions about what we're going to do wherever you live. Your family matters. You matter. Your vote matters. Even abstaining matters. It is a critical, critical time. And we're in overtime today, but it's intentional because I want us to realize that even in this conversation, we have a myriad of perspectives, from don't vote to you better vote to it's a conspiracy. Guess what? At some point in time, we have to have an agenda, not necessarily for all of us, but like my friend says, 80-20. At least 80% of us can have an agenda that's effective for our children, educating and developing our children. Is that White House going to do that for our children? That's what you should be asking. If you're asking about giving us the rights that we need, that the protections under the law, that the Constitution states, is that White House giving us that? If that White House isn't giving us that, then you need to start taking action in some form or fashion. If you're some, oh, well, I'm just going to leave, then go ahead and leave now. Right? But if you are here, you better start getting some heat up under you, deciding what it is that you're going to do about what's going to happen in this country. And Brother Joyce said it. People are getting really, really comfortable with being racist, with being assertive with their racism. And you have to prepare that if you don't stand up and say, we're not tolerating this, what's going to happen to your children? Don't worry about you no more. What about your grandchildren and your nephew and your niece and the generation to come if they get here? Stan, you there? Damn, got me today.
Yes, I'm here, my brother. I tell you, man, and I just want to encourage people also, too, don't forget about Amendment 1, because Amendment 1 ends the partisan gerrymandering, which is just going on. And it's to stop that. It's to provide more transparency and so that there can be a fair system. And so, you know, I mean, it's a game, man, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, you just got to know the game, know how to play it, work at it. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm independent, and I'm an independent thinker. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to do everything in my power to vote this man out of the current administration, out of office. I'm going to do that.
All I'm saying is, black people, if you're listening today or if you're listening on demand, you better have a strategy, right? And so, you know, Ice Cube made a point, right? All I'm seeing is we better have an ask, whether they ask before the president get there or after it, we better have an ask. And at least somebody is asking. The question is, what are you asking for your children, for your family, for your community? What are you asking for? And what do you deserve? What do you deserve? What do people of color deserve in this country? And if you're not asking for it, and if you're not demanding it, then I have to say, let's question ourselves. All right, I'm going over to 7974. Are you there? And then I'm going to 0946, and we're going to wrap it up. No, I've got to go back to 7974. You there? I'm going final comments, and then we're out of here.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, my final comment is, again, I agree with what Lossman said. I will agree that Ice Cube is a fool because of what the caller said
Cube
before. I totally agree. He is, though. And
he's
I think
young.
A lot of it hasn't been said. Ice Cube older than me. But what I will say is that I think what the caller said about the consciousness piece and sort of looking at that, Ice Cube was asked, and that's what the focus is on Ice Cube, because I think it's with a lot of the hip-hop culture, black men right now, in terms of Ice Cube, Lil Wayne, and all these people. He was asked by Carmelo Harris to meet, and he declined because he wasn't going to be the only person in the meeting. So it wasn't that he went to both, and he actually said that in an interview, right, recently, that he acknowledged that, yeah, he was, and so it wasn't true that he went to the party. They came to him and asked for his input, but because he wasn't the only one giving the input, there were other people, he didn't like that. And again, I think that when we're thinking about what the caller said before about the judges, Trump has shown us who he is. He had appointed 300 judges. None of them were black. So he can make all of the promises that he wants to us only to get into office and repeal those. Repeal those. Who holds somebody's health hostage? Right? So while we don't need, you know, people are talking about the stimulus and he's holding it hostage, you think about how evil someone has to be to hold money from unemployment and for small businesses and your health for PPE for essential workers. He's holding your voice hostage, right? No one with any kind of moral code would do that. So this is the same person that you think is going to create a platinum plan, which first of all is disgusting to me that you even use that. But anyway, you're going to create a platinum plan, and he's going to follow through with it. He had an opportunity to put in 300 judges, and all of them were white. So with that being said, when people show you who they are, believe them and move on.
Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going over to 1683, final statement. 1683, are you there?
Yes, sir. I just want to say thanks for the opportunity. I think our problem is, and I'm including myself, we think we are Americans, okay? We think we are Americans, and we must ask ourselves, what are we fighting for? What do we want? We're fighting to become Americans and treated like Americans and treated fairly like Americans and just like Americans, or are we fighting for our freedom? That's what I want for my children. My grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, I want them to be free. I don't want them to be Americans. I want them to be free. That's what I'm fighting for. And I should not have to go vote for my freedom. I'll say that again. I should not have to go vote for my freedom. I was born free. God made me free. Anything else is illusion. Thank you, brother.
Well said.
All right, thank you, brother. I just, man, it's burning my text up today. Somebody just wanted me to say, and for legal purposes, I won't say what they said for their name, but I'll say they said, make sure to make this statement for me. This country was built by us, not for us. By us, not for us. Right? We're here, and we got to make the best of it one way or the other. Either that, you better be working on your exit plan. So guess what? Either way, something needs to happen. All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. All right. Let me move down to 8128. 8128, final comments. 8128,
okay,
are you there?
I'm here. I'm here, brother. All right. My final comments are that we do need to make a stand. I think one of the callers said that either way, we do have to make a statement. I think that we need to, from this point on, once we do vote, and I do believe that we should vote, we should unify, use this vote as a unification process, and that we not only have started a dialogue, we need to start making the effort to regain a position. If we need to move to our own black political party or whatever it is that we decide as a people to do, we must now make our voice heard in every single election that we are a part of. We must be doing the act. We must make our voice count for something, because this is at the, we're at the point now where our voice does count for something,
right,
and we need to
like
make
that.
It heard.
All
we
right. I know y'all listening out there. Thank you, brother. I know y'all listening, right? The question is, are you going to do something? Stand. I got one more.
Yes,
and then we'll close with you. 0946, you there? I got some people listening on the line. 0946, are you there? I know we're deep into overtime. I wanted to get a final comment from 0946. But anyway, so we'll close out
the
show.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm here. I was on mute. I didn't realize that. Final comment is, divide and conquer is the name of the game. This system understands exactly what it's doing, giving the mic to Ice Cube. There are more qualified people, and I would say as our host, you, Marvin Roan, that they could give the mic to. But they're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give the mic to cause division and contention. And when it's all said and done, the black vote is important, and they are already starting the process of dividing it and segmenting it and causing the division. And so even if we get an agenda, they are already putting the process in place that it's going to be so ricocheted and it's going to be so divided. Well, who do we listen to? Ice Cube? Do we listen to the educated people? Do we listen to the rappers? Who do we listen to? And here's the reality. The hip-hop community has a level of influence, and I think that the educated community is going to have to make some type of are going to have to come together with the hip-hop community. They may not like that, but the old saying is they have a level of influence, and he that is leading and no one is following is only taking a walk. And so the educated people, they may know how to play the system, but unfortunately, they don't have a lot of the influence anymore, and that's a hard pill to swallow. But they don't have the influence like they used to have it. So I think that divide and conquer is the name of the game, and I think they're the fly on the wall, as Stan has said, they're already busy. They have a plan A and a plan B. If we get in, this is plan A. If we don't, we got plan B. So I think it's already in work. So I just think we need to be aware that divide and conquer is at work.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. All right. Stan, closing comments. We went into overtime today, so I want to thank y'all first for listening and hanging in there with us. But I think this is really important, right, to look at our views and to have this discussion. And I know you guys out there listening, this discussion is important because you have to be able to see and hear how we think about what we're experiencing. Stan, give me final comments, brother.
The White House doesn't have to be the White House, but the right house. And that's what we're about, doing what's right. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's do what's right.
All right. That's Stan Macklin, the right house. I like that. You have to make a decision one way or the other. If you wake up on Wednesday morning and Trump is the president, you're going to have to make some decisions. If you wake up on Wednesday morning and Biden is the president, you're going to have to make some decisions. What are those decisions? What do you ask for your community and for your family? What's the future? What does it look like for our people here that fought, bled, and died and have earned the right to be Americans? Or just being here on our own land, because for some of us, it is our homeland. I won't talk about that today, but you better know who and what you are. All right, I'm going to wrap it up today. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate you going the extra distance for us today. And I just want to say this. If you don't think about how you're going to change your community today and your family today, your methods, right? You got to think about your methods, right? Ice Cube is thinking he's doing what's right for him, right? He's doing his best. But people like Stan Macklin and Brother George and all the rest of the people who call can huddle up with their brother and say, maybe this is the way that you do it. Maybe next time you take this strategy. Because we have to not always criticize people who are placed out there, but educate and be compassionate and love each other as we learn the tricks of the trade. I'm gone, y'all. Have a great week. Be good. Love on each other, and I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.
Good job.